The greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Christians in Rome. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're meditating today on Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. I'll read from the God's Word to the Nations translation, the New Evangelical Translation of the New Testament. Follow along, if you like, on the second lesson and see, I think this is more clear for us. Adam and Christ. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. So then, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death also spread to all people since all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not charged against anyone's account when there is no law. Yet death ruled from Adam to Moses, also over those who did not sin in the same way as Adam did in his disobedience. Adam was a type or a picture of him who was to come. But the free gift is not at all like the failure. Since multitudes died as the result of one man's failure, God's grace and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, has overflowed even more on the multitudes. And the effect of this undeserved gift is not the same as the effect of the one who sinned. For the sentence which followed the one failure resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which followed many failures resulted in justification or acquittal. Yes, if death ruled through one man as a result of his failure, we who have received God's overflowing grace and his gift of righteousness will live and rule even more through the one man, Jesus Christ. So therefore, as through one failure, condemnation came to all people, so also through one righteous act, justification or acquittal, which brings life, came to all people. For in the same way as through the disobedience of one man, multitudes were proclaimed to be sinful, so also through the obedience of the one man, multitudes will be proclaimed righteous. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Christ Jesus, our champion, dearly redeemed. Have you ever heard a rock band's take on Adam's apple? To spare your ears and my own voice, I'll just read a few words. Back when Cain was Abel, way before the stable, lightning struck right down from the sky. Even Eve in Eden, voices tried deceiving, with lies that showed the lady the way. At first she stopped, turned, and tried to walk away. Man, he was believer. Lady was deceiver. Evil came like raining. Who knows who's to blaming? Something tried to lay her to waste, and all she want and need was just a little taste. Whether you're talking proud theologians or rockin' bands, when man gets hold of God's truth, he always messes it up. There's always two main things missing, and they're the two main teachings or doctrines of the Bible. What you won't hear is the bad news of God's law in its severity that condemns us all and prepares the way for the good news. The sweet, sweet gospel of Jesus Christ that says all those sins are washed away and we are free for Jesus' sake. They always water down the law and make excuses like suggesting that Eve tried to run away when the Bible never says that. Or who's to blaming? Who can you really pin that on? Well, the Bible does blame. Not Eve, but Adam and tells us the sad news that because of Adam, we all fell and we all died. It's God's truth. But it's God's truth to tell us something that I can't help thinking of those old cops and robbers shows that were on when it was still a black and white TV. We're not talking about the monotone of Sergeant Friday's Dragnet or Car 54, Where Are You? It's one of the more serious ones that I like to watch with my dad. 1 Adam 12. Today, let's just call it Rescue from 1 Adam 2. Rescue from 1 Adam 2 so that we can see the bad news first in death by the first Adam. Death by the first Adam. Really that bad? The reason that the rock groups and the theologians don't like this news of the Bible, this bad news, is it just doesn't seem fair. How could you possibly think that everybody was going to die and go to hell just because Eve took some of the fruit, gave some to Adam, he took hold of it, and then everybody's supposed to die because of that? So it's this fairness doctrine that they're into, that you can't have that from the Bible because it just wouldn't be fair. And I ask you, how many things in life are particularly fair? Was it really fair to me and my classmates in high school when we couldn't get our student driver to slow down on the glare ice until finally we're spinning around on Highway 12 just east of Aberdeen and land in the ditch? Is that fair? It's a friendly ditch. I'd say it was pretty merciful of the good Lord that we were able to drive the car back on the road and no one was hurt. Was it fair for another pastor's son to be in a carload of collegiates, the only one in the car with his seatbelt on? And yet after the rollover, everybody else walks away. And he's quadriplegic to this day. He barely has the use of a few fingers. Why? Is that fair? Life isn't fair. But God is just, and God is merciful. And His mercy triumphs over His justice. His mercy triumphs over judgment. He just wants us to see the real sad story as it is, so that we can recognize and rejoice in what He has given us in rescue from 1 Adam 2. There was death by the first Adam. That beautiful hymn from Lazarus Spengler: all mankind fell in Adam's fall. One common sin infects us all. From one to all the curse descends, and over all God's wrath impends. And everyone who believes the Bible says, yes, that's true, because that's what the Bible says. But do you really believe it? Or do you just give it lip service? You children learn in Sunday school, or you will learn in catechism class, the doctrine of original sin. That's a birth defect, a sin of origin that passes from father to son and right down generation after generation. Do you believe it? Not really. You don't. You just give it lip service. You know how I can tell? Because when things go wrong in your life, you do the same thing I do, the same thing all of us do. We ask, why me? If we really believed the doctrine of original sin, we'd think anything shy of eternal damnation was absolute grace on God's part. Why do you get upset when someone says something or does something or fails to do or say something that they should have? Why do you get upset about that if you believe the doctrine of original sin? If you were not just giving it lip service, you would be surprised whenever anyone was nice. If ever anyone had a kind word to say or did something that was halfway decent, if you believed God's truth, that we all alike are under sin because of Adam, and that all mankind fell because of Adam's fall. We need the rescue. We need the rescue because we all got death from Adam. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all people since all sinned. Doesn't mean that they broke the Ten Commandments. You realize how long it was, according to the biblical record, from creation to Moses when the Ten Commandments were given? About 3,000 years. Moses, 1500 BC, a 3,000-year period there. There was no Ten Commandments. But how can you tell that all those people were still under the curse because of Adam? Don't think too hard. They all died. Death was king. Generation after generation, you read it in Genesis chapter 5, where it says Adam was created in God's image, but he had a son in his image. This is after the fall. He's passing on that sinful birth defect, that original sin, generation after generation, and the refrain is the same on every single one of them, and he died, and he died, and he died, except one. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more because the Lord took him. All the rest died. Enoch was a beautiful exception, but they didn't die for breaking the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments finally came at the time of Moses, and those Ten Commandments did not do a single thing to make people better. All the Ten Commandments do is turn on the light and send the bugs scampering. It shows me my sin. It actually makes me sin more to hear the Ten Commandments. Do you realize that? Just think about this. If God says, and He does, that we are sinful from the time we're conceived, then we're in big trouble from womb to the tomb, doomed. And the Ten Commandments come along then and say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You'd never be able to think about anything but God and your neighbor. You got other gods because you love other things more than God. You think about other things more than God. You break every single commandment. You hear God's word and don't take it to heart or love God's word more than anything else. You've blown the second and third commandments. You don't honor your parents. This is the way we should, or God's representatives. The murder in the heart, the adultery in the heart, the stealing, the covetousness, the gossip. And the Ten Commandments say, do this, don't do that, and once you mess up one time, you're condemned. So let me get this straight. That means I'm doomed from the womb, and the harder I try, the worse it is, and one infraction against the Ten Commandments is enough to condemn me. What's the use? Why even try? I can remember a period like that in my childhood when I was hearing so much law and hardly any gospel, and that's what I thought. I sinned on purpose. It's like the old story, and I don't think it's a joke. The mother that said to her children, now, when I'm gone, don't you dare put beans in your ears. What kid would think of that? Of course, she comes back, and they all got beans in their ears. Because the commandment made them want to do what they were told not to do. And I thought it was just a made-up story from one of our seminary professors until a few years ago. There was some kid in India, and he had some problem inside his ear, and the doctor went in there, and there was a bean plant growing. That's what the law does. It condemns us. It shows us our situation. And we couldn't do anything about it because of the death passed on from generation to generation, all the way back to the first Adam. Which is exactly why the Lord says it's not over. He looked from all eternity, Jesus did. He wanted to come and give life as the second Adam. The one who would step into the breach between us and God and take all that away. To do for us in our place what we could not do. You know, if Minnesotans are ready to turn around and run back toward the bridge when it collapses and risk their lives to get people out. And all those wonderful stories of the heroics of the firemen and the police that rushed into the Twin Towers, and many lost their lives trying to get people out. It's amazing, isn't it? what human beings will do, even in a civic sense, to try to save, I think it's a reflection of Jesus Christ in our society, that it's so much in our homeland here. But if we can see that in our fellow human beings, think of what Jesus felt like, looking from all eternity of this mass of humanity, and the very first Adam coming along like the captain of the Titanic and blowing a huge hole in the ship below the waterline and never stopping to think what he did to all the generations that would follow. Didn't have a clue when the Lord said, on the day that you eat of it, you will surely die, that this would be passed on generation after generation. Jesus sees the sinking boat. Like a police officer who notices a car is headed for an accident, he raced to the scene of the crime, raced to the accident site. The whole Old Testament is the story of the determination of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, our Messiah, to come and take care of this, to be the second Adam, to give us life. It's a contrast, such a sharp contrast between the death that Adam brought and the life that Jesus gives. From the lesser to the greater. It says, but the free gift is not at all like the failure. There's three words. This is what makes this a challenging text. There's three different words for sin in this text, in the original Greek. One of them is the typical one of missing the mark. You've heard that before. That's the main word for sin when you're supposed to hit the bullseye and you miss the mark. Hamartano. That's sin in general. Then there's Adam's sin that he committed that none of the rest of us did because God specifically told him, don't eat that fruit, and he did. That's this sin of, there's the line, God drew the line, and you purposely step over. It says Eve was deceived, Adam was not. He knew what he was doing when he stepped over that line. And the rest of these are sins that are talked about falling into sin. It's when you're trying to do what's right, but you fail, and you fail again and again. That's what happens to all of us because the free gift is not like the failure. Since multitudes died as the result of one man's failure, he not only stepped over that line, but he didn't realize the results of that. He fell into sin. God's grace and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, have overflowed even more on the multitudes. Just think how if you were trapped in a burning building and everybody was going to die and all of a sudden this huge downpour just started washing water in through the windows and dousing the flames and cooling off the air in your body, what a wonderful delight that would be. You don't care if you get wet under those circumstances. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Poured onto this burning planet of sin and disgrace and dishonor of God and each other, all this grace and mercy of God because Jesus was right and righteous and good, God's own Son. And all that water of life from the dear Holy Spirit and Word and Sacrament just poured into this burning building to douse the flames of God's judgment, to cool and soothe your heart and your life. It just washes over you like a cool, refreshing shower in a hot, burning summer day. Ah, the rescue. The sin that came and the death from that one sin is really nothing like this wonderful multitude of grace that came out of all these sins of all these people. And there you have life in Jesus Christ. From the lesser to the greater, God's grace and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, have overflowed even more on the multitudes, but he's not done. Yes, if death ruled through one man as a result of his failure, we who have received God's overflowing grace and his gift of righteousness will live and rule even more through the one man, Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us kings. Christ is our champion king. He calls us kings, a royal priesthood, a priesthood full of kings, living and ruling in God's world with our prayers. How many things disturb you in the world around you? You probably couldn't count them because it changes, doesn't it? Day by day. Our first reaction is, what can I do about it? When really our first reaction ought to be to go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, you've called me to prayer. You'll listen to everything I have to say in your dear name. Help me with this. Change the situation in our country, in your world. Change the situation in our church, our family, our synod. Pray about those things and look at what God does. He always hears and blesses, and we don't even have to tell him what to do. I don't have to have the answer when I go to God in prayer. I don't know. Sometimes I don't even know what the problem is. It's enough to know that God knows, and it's enough to know that for Jesus' sake, he's glad to hear the prayers, and we rule by our prayers through him that rules all things for our good. Oh, kings, kings living and ruling because of the life that we have in the second Adam. What's left? Another story, these have been in the papers, about that one family. I don't know how any of them lived. When their van flipped over, landed upside down, 60 feet below where the bridge used to be, the two daughters and their parents in that van. If you saw pictures of that in the paper, how did anybody get out of that alive? But they pulled out the father, the mother, the daughters, and very quickly they were carrying them off on whatever they could grab for a stretcher, who knows where. And then you've got the sad tale of these two parents trying to find their two daughters. They don't even know where each other are in the confusion of the whole thing. It took some pretty intelligent and inventive detective work on the part of some volunteers to get the father from a different hospital reunited with the mother and then find out the daughters were only a few floors away. Now, what if someone had that information and didn't tell anyone? Can you imagine how cruel that would be to know where the father was, where the mother was, where the daughters were, and not pass it along? That's the cruelty of Christians today, that we don't open our mouth and speak up because all that's left is to pick up the phone. We have radios that reach to satellites and back to other radios. We call them cell phones, but they're really radios. We want to radio the message of what God has done for everybody because they need to know about it. Through the one failure, condemnation came to all people. So to all people, this acquittal or justification comes in God. It's a done deal. You don't have to wait till tomorrow or do some penance or make this happen right with God because Jesus said it is finished. Before he gave up his spirit to God on our behalf, he said it is finished. We need to tell everyone else it is finished. The salvation belongs to us by faith in Jesus. It's received that way. In the same way as through the disobedience of the one man, multitudes were proclaimed to be sinful. So through the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ, multitudes will be proclaimed righteous. Rescue from one Adam too. Rescue from the first Adam by Jesus, the second Adam. All we need now is to radio the rescue. But Christ, the second Adam, came to bear our sin and woe and shame, to be our life, our light, our way, our only hope, our only stay. When you're covered with dirt from life and the dust is flying all around and you've had a bad fall and you're bruised and battered and broken, Christ is our life. He's the one who saw the sinking ship and rushed in to raise it up with all people on it. He just wants people to believe it. And that's the tragedy of unbelief. That people who don't believe what God has already done are rejecting a salvation and a grace that is already theirs by God's declaration, if only they would accept it. Only unbelief damns. All the other sins forgiven. You don't have to wait because it's on right now. Rescue from one Adam too. It's on. Just tune in. And when the show is over, you won't have to worry that there's going to be the end at the end. Instead, you'll hear Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia without end. Amen and amen. Please rise.